Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're delighted that you're here this day as we continue on with our series on Live the Dream. As I mentioned last week, the term dream is far more than just a series of messages here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. It is a way of articulating our values. The DREAM describes our values as a congregation. Once again, I remind you, it was born out of a conversation that I had on an elevator. Got on an elevator downtown at Marquette University. A young attorney got on board, and as we got the doors closed, and he said to me, he said, well, what do you do? And I told him that I was a pastor. He said, where at? He said, I told him at Oak Creek Assembly of God. He said, well, tell me quickly, what do you guys believe? And we went up to the fifth floor, and the door opened, and I'm still talking. He steps out. And he turns around, he says, just a bit of advice for you. And I said, sure. He says, if you don't know how to tell me what you believe in five floors, then you don't know. And I came back to the office and I said to the staff, I said, you know, we've got to take and work on this. We want to share something so that the entire church body, all the fellowship here, would be able to take and articulate what we believe in just a few short floors on an elevator. And so it's with that in mind that the DREAM, it really describes our values here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, the things that we value as believers and be able to articulate that. Now the D is a dynamic lifestyle of worship. R is relationships devoted to unity. E is the empowered through biblical training. A is active ministry involvement. M is a mission to reach our world for Christ. Now, so far, we have discussed the D and the R. D is a dynamic lifestyle of worship. John chapter 4 and verse 23 tells us this, but the hour cometh and now is. So Jesus says, the time is coming and it's already arrived. He says, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, the last part of that is very important. It says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So we know then that God has created us in such a way so that we might fulfill the desire of God's heart, and that is for worship. So God's desire is worship. Man's design is to be a worshiper, and worship we will. We will worship either sports figures. We will worship ourselves, we will worship our accomplishments, we will worship, but we will worship. And in other parts of the world, they're worshiping all kinds of things. We talked about that last week as I was going to one of the temples there in India just a little over a week ago. And I noticed on the top of this temple, in the most prominent place where we would have a cross as Christians in a Christian church, they had two huge rats, and these rats were, I mean, they were large, they're very large, and I saw people come, bow down, and begin to worship these rats. And as I left there, seeing people with tears in their face, you know, coursing down their faces, and they were lighting fires and bringing these little pots of fire and offering it unto the many, many, many gods, the millions of gods they believe in that area of the world. It just made me so grateful that we know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And that on top of our cross, our church is a cross declaring Jesus Christ and his love. So in week one, we investigated then the fact of worship, God's desire and our design. Now last Sunday, we talked about the R of dream. Relationships devoted to unity. Psalm 133 in verse 1 was our text. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. One of the desires of God for his church is that his church would be one unit and that we would be unified together in our worship of God and our labors to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Now this morning we're going to talk about the E of dream. Empowered through biblical training. In your Bibles, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, you'll find these words. as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goeth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I've sent it. God says, when you look at the rains, as the rains fall from the heavens, and as they begin to nurture the earth, or as the snow falls and the snow melts, it brings water so that there could be seed in the spring, there could be harvest in the fall. He says, so it is with my word. Every word that I speak is going to accomplish that which I send it forth to accomplish. I am so glad for God's eternal word this morning, aren't you? And the Bible says it will not return without accomplishing whatever it was sent forth to accomplish. And behind every promise and every word that God gives us in His Bible, every bit of it has a purpose. And God said, it will not return to me until it is fulfilled its purpose. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, and you will know the truth. There's going to be truth. And He said, you're going to know that truth, and the truth is going to make you free. Let's talk about empowered through biblical training this morning for a few moments. That word empowered is a word that we hear a lot about these days. We hear about being empowered at the job. We talk about empowering others. And all of this empowerment, just exactly what is the definition of empowerment? To be empowered means to give power and authority to another by legal means. So one more time, empowerment means to give power and authority, and it's understood, to another, to someone else, and to give it, and it's by legal means. You have the right to give that empowerment, and that empowerment, once received, has the full authority and power of the individual giving it. All throughout the New Testament, you'll discover how Jesus was empowering His disciples and His followers. He was giving to them power, He was giving to them authority, and He was giving it to them in the legal sense. It was legally theirs to possess, and no one could illegally remove it or take it back from them. So Jesus then, before He ever sent out the 12, He empowered them. Before He sent out the 70 that you'll read about later in the scripture, as He sends them out, He always empowers them and gives them authority first. Let me give you an example of that. In Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 1, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, that is the 12 disciples, we know them as apostles later on in the New Testament. When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them, first of all, what? Say it. Power. And secondly, He gave them authority. And this authority and power is to do what? To drive out all what? Demons. And to cure what? Diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal what? So notice, before He ever sends them out, He says, I'm going to give you a power and I'm going to give you authority. He empowers them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read a portion of scripture like that, that He has given authority and power so that we might be effective for Him in this world, there's something on the inside of me that says, I want to live that kind of a life. I do not want to live powerless or without authority. I do not want to spend my years on this earth without accomplishing the purpose that God had when He created me. And I believe that God, just as He has a purpose behind every word He speaks, He has a purpose for your life. And in that purpose, we do not want to miss it. We do not want to live our lives just being swayed here, there, everywhere, but we want to live our lives out with power and authority. And before He ever sent out anyone, He always gave them power and authority. But where does this empowerment then come from? How do we grow in this empowerment? Now, as Pentecostal believers, we know and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. and the endowment of the Spirit, and we believe that, and it is right. However, I want you to see this morning not only the empowerment that comes through the Spirit, I want you to see the empowerment that is available to you through the Word of Almighty God. You know, as kids growing up, me and my brothers, Popeye was one of our favorite heroes. Popeye was always saving, as you remember, olive oil and little sweet pea from that mean old controlling guy, which was a villain by the name of what? Say it. Bluto, that's right. And every cartoon always had kind of the same theme. Olive oil and little sweet pea would be in trouble, and Bluto was abusing them and, you know, just making life rough for them. And Popeye then would be no match for Bluto until he popped the lid on a can of what? Spinach. There we go. And as he ate that spinach, wow, suddenly he became a powerhouse. And he was transformed by eating that can of spinach instantly into a lean, mean fighting machine. And then he would just handedly take on Bluto. Now, I want you to consider with me this morning how we are empowered. Our empowerment, our spinach, is the Word of Almighty God. I want you to look at the power of God's Word for a moment. Now, friends, you hold in your hand this morning, as you hold your Bible, whatever, you know, way you have it. Some are electronic, others are in the printed form. But however you have God's Word this morning, that is the Word of God. It's also known, and we call it the Bible. It contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. It's all found there. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are absolutely true, and its decisions are unchangeable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword. It is the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored, heaven is opened, and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grandest theme, our good is its design, and the glory of God is its end. It should fill your memory, it should rule your heart, it should guide your feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory. It is a river of pleasure. It is given to you in life, and it will be opened in judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It rewards the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. That, my friends, is the Word of Almighty God. Now, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Think about that in the practical sense for a moment. He said, as you look at the starry sky above, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets that surround, he said, these things one day, they will pass away. But my words, the Word of God, will abide forever. Friend, I want you to know you have a sure word this morning, and it will not pass away. Now, when I read the Genesis creation account, I'm absolutely blown away when I consider the power of God's Word. God simply said, "Let there be light," and suddenly there was light. And you talk about light, the sun, the moon, the stars, which are innumerable, all begin to shine. The power of God's creative Word. All he had to do is speak it, and it was done. Matter of fact, you'll discover that there is a term that is used with creation. And the term that is used, how God spoke the worlds into existence, is called ex nihilo. Say it with me for a second. Ex nihilo. One more time. Ex nihilo. It simply means everything was created from nothing. There are those that try to help God out by saying, You know, if God is the God of creation, there was one day, there was this huge mass that was floating out in the space, and this thing had an explosion, the Big Bang. And this bang happened, and from it, fragments went off and became galaxies, became planets, became all of this stuff. Friends, the Bible says God created all of this from nothing. Now, that's pretty amazing. You see, most of us can make something from something. But to make something from nothing. The God we serve is so powerful, and His word is so powerful, that when He speaks, something becomes great from nothing. And whatever you're facing today, I want you to know that God is still on His throne, and that God's word and God's power and authority is unparalleled by anything or anyone in the entire universe. God said it, and we embrace it, and that absolutely settles it in our hearts and lives. Just think what could happen for each and every one of us here at Oak Creek Assembly of God if we were truly to be empowered through biblical training. Such a church, I believe, would turn Southeast Wisconsin, and not only Southeast Wisconsin, but our world upside down for Jesus Christ. And how many believe our world needs a little bit of uprighting right now? Amen? And we're sending out teams right now. This week, we have a team down in Florida helping them rebuild after all the damage of the hurricanes that have passed through. We have a team heading off to Thailand this coming Thursday and Friday. Pastor Armin and myself will be in Morelia, Mexico, and we'll be sharing there at a Bible college that we've helped build, and we're going to be dedicating it there. And let me just tell you that the fingers of this church are going all over the world. And on any given week, there's something exciting taking place because we believe that this Bible is still filled with the power of Jesus Christ, still filled with the power of God. There's not a promise in the book that is not alive and real today. And as we share the living word of God, lives are being transformed in our city, on elevators, in hospitals, next door neighbors. There is power in the word of God. And so when Jesus commissioned His disciples, He did not send them out without giving them authority and giving them power. Where do we get that same power today? It comes from the word of Almighty God. And whatever God said, He said, I will make sure My word does not come back empty. It will water, it will cause life, it will do whatever I send it forth to do. So remember then, this word of God is our source of empowerment. Now the word empowers believers. Let me ask you this morning. I believe that many of you are probably tired of the devil kicking sand in your face and harassing you and harassing your family, much like Pluto harassed olive oil. The devil always goes as far as we let him. Let me say that one more time. The devil will always go as far as what you allow him. And I want you to know he is not free in the life of the believer to shove you around unless you allow him. He is not all-powerful. God is all-powerful. And His word is empowering. When Jesus was tempted and harassed by the devil, the Bible tells us that He conquered all of the temptations by the word. Listen to what it says in Luke chapter 4. Now, Jesus had just been baptized in the River Jordan. And there was a voice from heaven that said, this is My Son. I want you to listen to Him. And this was a marvelous moment of anointing in Jesus' life. And here's what happens right after. Verse 1 of Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was what? Say it, church. Hungry. Yeah, I'm hungry after about 4 hours. 40 days, I'm ready to eat a rock, all right? The devil said to him, now I want you to notice the devil is an opportunist. He is always watching, looking, trying to find some opportunity to inject either his thoughts, his ways, his will into your life. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is what, say it, written. How did he know that it was written? He wrote it, but he also, as the Son of Man living on this earth, he dedicated himself, and you can see this from the age of 12 on. He is at the temple, and he is bantering back and forth the truths of God's word with a religious hierarchy of his day. And so Jesus, he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil goes on. The devil then led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all of their authority and splendor. It has been given to me. It was yielded to him by Adam in the Garden of Eden. And I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. What he was offering unto Jesus in that moment was a way to redeem mankind and the earth without the cross. Jesus saw right through it. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, as written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. Isn't that interesting? Twice now Jesus said, it is written. Who is saying it is written this time? The devil. Have you ever heard the devil try to twist the word of God? Have you ever heard him try to tell you something that is not true, not in keeping with the full counsel of God? And so now the devil is going to try this business about it is written. It is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike down your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to a test or to the test. And in some translations, it says, do not put God to a foolish test. You see, the devil was trying to use God's word to confuse Jesus, but because Jesus had given himself to the study of the word, he was not confused and he was not led astray. In verse 4, Jesus said, it is written. And again in verse 8, Jesus said, it is written. And then in verse 10, you find the enemy using it is written, trying to confuse him. And Jesus responds in verse 12 by saying, it is said. I want you to notice what happens next. In verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished all of his tempting, he left him until what? An opportune time. Wouldn't it be nice if the devil, once we licked him once, he would never come back again? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be cool if you could come to the altar and we would just lay hands on you and you would never be tempted or tested or tried, never have another situation in your life where the devil is trying to get you down? That'd be great, but ain't gonna happen, all right? He left him until another opportune time. And that is exactly the way the Christian life is. We win our battles, and we win and we overcome. But the enemy is always looking for that opportunity. He's watching to see what happens at your job tomorrow. And when you're frustrated, he's going to come right alongside. He's going to whisper in your ear. When things are a little tense at home, he's standing back in the corner and he's trying to stir you on to something that's going to become a big mess. Until finally you give up on each other and you divorce and you separate and the family is torn apart. He's an opportunist. And so this opportunity, he saw Jesus hungering. He said, I've got an opportunity. And he watched and he seen the entire scene played out, and he was watching to see how he might influence him. Friends, Jesus knew how to use the Word of God to defend himself and how to overcome the temptation of the enemy. Now, I want you to think for just a moment with me how different your battles could be this coming week if empowered through biblical training. You know, there are times when you face fears in life. And in these fears, I want you to see, here's a promise. And this promise is found in Isaiah chapter 54 in verse 17. In those moments when it seems like everyone has risen up against you and everyone is teaming against you, whether it's at the job or in the family or the neighborhood or whatever it is, or just the danger that lurks about us all the time. Isaiah says this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Aren't you glad for the heritage we have this morning? The heritage of God's word passed down from generation to generation. And the same power that said, let there be light, is pregnant in this book, waiting to be released in everyday life. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. There are times you feel like you're not up to the task, like life is just more complicated than what you can handle. You ever been in one of those moments where you've taken all you can take and you can take no more? You ever been there? I love what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do it all, no matter what it is. I know I can do this through Jesus Christ. I know I can do it through God. I can do all things, and that is all-encompassing. I can do it all through Him. Or in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is within the world. It seems like the numbers are against you. Listen, as believers that have been trained in God's Word, we understand that phrase out of 1 John 4 and verse 4, the world may be against us, but greater is He that is within us than all of them that are against us in the world. And we shall overcome. Hallelujah. Through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony, we will overcome. When the devil comes along, he's condemning you. I love Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. How many ever have the devil just kind of whispering in your ear, you're nothing, you've never been anything, you're never going to be anything, you're never going to make any mark for God? I mean, if you're alive, you've probably heard that at some time. I love what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm so glad that Psalm 103 and verse 12, when the devil comes and tries to remind me of my past and my failures, that I'm reminded as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see, when the devil reminds you of your past, I believe that's a good time to remind him of his future. You let him know that God's in control, amen? You know, and even when facing death, you know, there comes a time in this life when medicine has done everything it can do. You see, the Bible says it is appointed on a man once to die, and then comes a judgment. You know, there's a lot of appointments in life that I've been able to weasel out of. If you're a physician in the house today, I'm grateful for you, but I don't love going and having my body poked and prodded and needles put in and, you know, pictures taken of my innards and all that kind of stuff. I'm just not big on all of that. I'm so glad that in those moments, and when we're facing death itself, the Bible tells us, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. that I don't have to fear that last breath. The Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It tells me this body of mine may be one day sown, if the Lord should tarry. Bible says, sown in weakness. But let me tell you, at the trump of God, this body will come out of the grave in power. The Bible says it is sown as a natural body. And the devil can take and do his dance and say, I got him. But he hasn't, because 1 second, less than a second, after I draw my last breath, I'm dancing in the streets of heaven. Not only dancing in the streets of heaven. Sown as a natural body. And the Bible says it's raised as a spiritual. You see, every single verse in the Bible is like spinach. I hate spinach. It's right down there. I don't say right up there. It's right down there with beets. Anything that bleeds on your plate ought not to be on your plate. It's our strength. It's everything we need to keep on going. When doubts come, the Word of God will conquer a doubt. When problems come your way, God will give you a promise and He'll show you the way through it. And when you face even the very last breath of life, you can know that He has your life in His hands. And like walking from the kitchen to the living room, you do not cease to exist. You just go to a place of rest and in the presence of God. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What about the process then? What is the process of getting this and all the promises that are pregnant with the power of God? How do we get this in here? How do we get this word so that somehow it's alive and that it's going to help us in all the situations that we come against in daily life? It tells us this in Colossians 3 and verse 16. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Now that word richly there, let it dwell in abundance inside of you. Let the word of Christ dwell abundantly in you or richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me tell you the story of a man. This man's name is Loyal Miller. Loyal Miller grew up in the Dakotas. As just a child, he had spinal meningitis. And this spinal meningitis caused a fever just raging through his young body for weeks on end. The doctors told his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Miller, if your son, Loyal, if he lives through this, the best he'll probably ever know in life, he'll be so mentally, you know, challenged. If he can identify you and other members of the family, not be able to communicate with you, we have no hope for communication. But if you can see in his eye, he can identify you and identifies you as someone special in your life. That's probably the best that you'll ever be able to expect out of him all life long. The Miller family, they knew the scriptures, and they knew the Lord is their healer. They knew the promises of God's word. You see, they've been hiding it up to this time in their lives by reading it and studying it and putting it into their hearts, making a priority to get to know this. And they prayed and they sought the face of God. God miraculously raised up this young boy named Loyal. Loyal went on not only to know his parents, but this man became absolutely photogenic in his memory. So photogenic that he memorized the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I was with this man on many occasions where people had tried to stump him. And they would say, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 5. And he would immediately. You know, I'm one of those kind of guys, you know, if you ask me to say the ABCs, and I have to kind of go back in my mind, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I have to really sit there and think for a moment, what comes between, you know, U and V, you know, and beyond and all of this, you know. And so, anyway, he memorized the entire Bible. And they called him the Walking Bible. And Lowell Miller not only was known as the Walking Bible, he became one of the key instructors at Hub City Bible Institute and later on Trinity Bible College, and then became very involved in the ministry of Lowell Lundstrom and that of Message for America. He was one of the chaplains writing the responses to some of the most difficult letters that would come in from the radio program and television program. Lowell Miller one day was in a classroom, and Lowell Lundstrom was in that classroom. And he asked Lowell, and Lowell, if you ever had the opportunity to know Lowell, which I was so privileged to know over the years, Lowell, he was always looking for a key. I mean, he liked, you know, give me 3 points, you know, tell me the trick, you know, how this happens, you know, very intense kind of guy. And so Lowell Miller was at the blackboard, and he said, come on, tell me the trick. How do you memorize scripture like that? Now remember, he knows the entire Bible, including, you know, every comma and every detail. It was amazing to listen to this guy. And so Lowell was thinking, you know, how can I get that? What's the trick? And so he asked him. Lowell turned around. He wrote on the blackboard, W. What comes next? O. Ah, you're catching on. What's next? R. And then it's the K. W-O-R-K. Lowell was saying, come on, give me the trick. There must be some systematic way that you memorize scripture like this. Lowell Miller was just simply saying, there's only one way to get that in your heart, and that is to work at it. The Bible tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved, so that we as a workman will not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, with that on the screen for a second, there's several words in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 that most of us don't like. What would be the first one? Study. What's the trick? W-O-R-K. Study to show yourself approved unto God. What's the next word that we probably don't like a whole lot? Workman. Study, workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you look at that, many times we try to find some quick and easy way. Let me just tell you, there's no shortcut to knowing God's word. You have to handle his word. You need to, every single day, have a time where you get alone with God and alone in the word. You know, we offer some wonderful opportunities to study God's word here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. The reason why we do that is because I understand, and as your pastor, I understand, that it is my responsibility to prepare you. We're living in a time, dear friends, where the challenges are coming from every side. Just as the enemy was using the word, remember he said it is written and then warped and twisted its application? That is the generation that we're living in right now. And they want to warp and they want to twist all the main issues of life, whether it be abortion, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be any of the above. They want to warp all of these things. God's word changes not. God does not change, and the Bible tells us that that is really good for us, because if God were to change and God was no longer a merciful God, guess where we would be? Or what if God decided he was no longer going to save, that he's got enough, he's going to save anyone else? All of these are dealt with in his word. And if we do not understand the word, when the attacks come, then we're trying to duke it out on our own, and we're always going to lose. But when we use God's word, when we defend ourselves with God's word, when we declare God's word, when we stand on God's word, we will always be victorious. Let me tell you the story of a lady that She was setting up communion, Di Pietro. And she was setting up the communion right behind me. And I just wanted to get to know her a little bit better. She was in her 80s. She had already lost her husband after a long-term marriage and happy marriage. And so I asked her, I said, calling her Sister Di Pietro, because she was certainly at that time, I was in my 20s and she was in her 80s. And to honor her and respect her, I said, Sister Di Pietro, I says, tell me, how did you meet your husband? Because I never heard the story before. And she said, oh, that's a fascinating story. I said, well, tell me. She said, my husband was living in Sicily. And through a mutual friend, we started kind of a pen pal kind of relationship. And so I'm kind of processing this all in my mind, you see. I mean, this is in the day where there's no Zoom, there's no Facebook, there's no FaceTiming. Everything has to be done through mail. And so she said, you know, we corresponded back and forth with one another for a long time. And then one day she said, my husband proposed to me through the mail. And I read that and I was so excited. And she told me of how they had planned then their wedding. He left Sicily, came by ship to New York, from New York to Milwaukee by train. And then arriving on Friday night, the wedding is the next day. And I heard that, and I thought, oh boy. I dated my wife for 4 years before I married her. And then I thought I knew her, but I was really tricked on all of that. And you know what? I fooled her too. All right. And so I said to her, I said, you mean to tell me he sails from Sicily to New York, gets on board the train, arrives in Milwaukee on Friday, and the next day you're married? I said, that must really have been scary. And she said, oh, no, 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 Pastor Jerry. I knew him, and I knew him well. I said, how could you know him? Oh, I read every letter over and over and over. If Jesus were to walk on platform right now, would you know him? If you've been reading his letter, you will. He will always be greater than you ever imagined. But you'll know him because you've been reading his letter. However, let me also put it in the negative sense for a second. What if the Antichrist stood on stage and he came to deceive you and he came to somehow entangle you, turn you against the real Christ? That's why he's called Antichrist. Would you know him? If you've been reading the letter, you'll know the real. You'll also know the imposture, because you have read the book and you've hid it inside of your heart. Friends, I believe we're living in a day of great deception, and it's so important that we know the truth, because the truth is going to set us free. And the truth is what we're going to defend ourselves with. When the Bluto, when the villain, when the devil comes at us, we're going to stand not in our own strength, but empowered by biblical training. Hide the Word of God into your heart. Get to know it. If you are not on a one-year Bible reading path and track, get on it while you still have, you know, most of the year yet ahead of you. Put first things first. Get the Word into your heart every day. Whether it's for just a few moments or whatever it is, Get into the Word every single day. Hide it in your heart. And you'll be amazed of how God is going to recall, bring back to memory the things when you need them the most. When you are in an instant, you need to know an answer to a question that somebody's asked. Holy Spirit can bring back to memory what you have studied and what you prepared for. But He cannot if you've not done your part. Let's be people of the Word. So what do we believe? The D is a what? Dynamic lifestyle of worship. Can we say it together? Dynamic lifestyle of worship. One more time. The D. R is relationships devoted to. Let's say it together. Devotion. Devotion. I'll go back to school later. All right. Dynamic lifestyle of worship. Relationships devoted to unity. That means that I value unity enough that if there's something between myself and my sister, my brother, it's incumbent upon me to take care of that. Because as it begins to push us apart from each other, it'll push me away from God. And that's where you meet people that are so bitter. I mean, it pours out of them. I went to a nursing home one time, and a little lady came rolling up to me in her wheelchair. She said, "You know what I'm going to do tonight?" I said, "What you going to do, honey?" "I'm going to kill my roommate," she said. She said, "I was outside, and I found a rock." And she had this whole thing planned. I went down to the nurse's station. I said, "She's got a rock in her room. And she's getting ready to stone her roommate tonight." And you know what they called her in the nursing home? This is her nickname, the cusser. And she would, from the time I'd come in, she would just follow me. Blink, 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 you know, and follow me all over the place, just cussing away. And everybody knew her. She was so full of venom. She would say things like, "My kids hate me. They never come to see me." And the nurse would say, "They were here this morning." But she is so full of bitterness. She couldn't see the good things in life. It just overwhelmed her. I'm so glad we can put the Word of God in. And with the Word of God, there's hope and there's peace and there's joy. And it tells me what I need to do. It tells me when I come to the altar of the Lord and I'm ready to offer up an offering to Him, and if I've got aught against a brother, I got to go take care of some stuff. The Bible tells us how to live life so we don't end up the cusser. Putting rocks under our bed, hoping for an opportunity to get even with someone. I'm so glad that God's got a better plan. And I want you to know He loves you so much. And He wants you to be a son and daughter in relationship with Him. And He wants, no matter what your past has been, the Bible says there is no sin that He is unable to forgive. And He's longing to make a difference in your life. We're going to go to the Lord right now and celebrate communion together. And if you have never given your life to Christ, or maybe you've allowed some of this bitterness to kind of be settled in your life, you know, just as the cusser, I mean, she dwelt on this stuff until it literally overcame her. I lived next door to Helen Wanamaker in Wauwatosa. Helen was in her 90s. Helen had dementia. And in this dementia, I would come knocking at her door. And I was next door neighbor, so hopefully she felt safe, you know, anyway. But she'd open the door and she'd say, "Honey, come on in." And I'd come in. "Honey, sit down." I'd sit down. "Honey, have you anything to eat?" I said, "Yeah, I've had plenty." "Oh, honey, I've got to get you something." She'd go to the kitchen and she'd bring out something always for me. And we'd sit there and we'd be talking, and the word of God would just flow out of her. A river. She didn't know who I was, because just before I leave, she'd say, "And honey, who are you?" "I'm your local neighborhood thief. That's why I've come, Grandma." She had no idea. And even though she didn't know what day of the week it was, who I was, or any of these details, out of her flowed what she put in the most of. And she put in the word. And the word would just flow out of her. I want to be like that. If there should ever be a day where I don't have all my conscious ability, that I'm not going around the cusser, but I'm going around filled with grace. You can only give what you got. So we believe in loading our lives with the Word of God.